Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Today's reading comes from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me around among them, and behold, there are very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they are very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you. And you will cover, and will cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and I commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bones, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come up upon them, and the skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, and they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet in an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open the graves, I will raise you from the graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do that, declares the Lord.
This morning, we thank you to come together as your sons and daughters this morning. We ask, Father, that as we come this morning, Father, as we, whatever has been going on during this week, in our lives, in our families, oh God, in our minds, Father, at this time, as we come to set our mind and our focus on you, that you speak. Speak to each and every one of us right where we are, God. We thank you that you are a loving, faithful God. So right now, Lord God, reveal your word to us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask these things in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And so we are going through a series at the moment called Gone Fishing. Can I say Gone Fishing?
Gone Fishing.
Okay, so Gone Fishing. And so basically we are looking at the these four movements that run throughout the Bible, right? So it starts with creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. So today we're looking at restoration. But we started off in creation. We started off in the way that, in how God created the earth. And then we went on to the fall. And the fall was about the fall of man, how sin entered the world. And then redemption, last week we celebrated redemption through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But it wasn't complete. It's not finished there. It carries on to this part that we are going through today, and it's restoration. Everybody say restoration.
Restoration.
Okay, so the title of my message today is Rattling in the Restoration. Rattling in the Restoration. Okay, so anyone experienced an earthquake before?
Anyone been in an earthquake before?
Yes. And Wellington, where my wife originally from? Yeah, my So Moncton, it was like, yeah, because like Moncton was right along this, what do you call it, like a fault line, okay? And so there's like earthquakes all the time there. And so you can, there are times when I could hear the earthquake sort of coming. She made me quiet. Everything's like really quiet. And so you can hear this sort of rumbling, this like slow swaying. And then sometimes it's, you know, like this, and then it'll stop. And so that reminded me, the earthquakes reminded me that the earth is alive. The earth is moving, right? That's how, that, when I felt the river, I was like, oh my gosh, you know? And so Ezekiel here, Ezekiel is living during a time when there's like major international disturbance and mayhem. There is this change in power from the Assyrians to the Babylonians. And so it's the Babylonians that have come up, that have risen up as this new superpower. They're the new superpower, and they've destroyed Jerusalem, and they've destroyed, and so what they've done is that they've taken the people from Jerusalem, taken them back to their Babylonian kingdom to be part of their community, of their empire there. And so Ezekiel is from a lineage of priests. He's a priest. But during this time of captivity, he proclaims the word of the Lord. So he takes this role of like a prophet. And so he faithfully relays to his fellow Jews the difficult and often heartbreaking word of divine judgment from God because of all of Israel's sins. And so in Ezekiel 33, he finds out that Jerusalem has been destroyed. It's been battered. The temple there, it's like in ruins. And so as you can understand, that he's probably feeling pretty down, pretty discouraged upon hearing this news of the temple being destroyed. So God shows Ezekiel, beginning from chapter 34, a vision that begins to tell of the hope of Israel, the restoration of Israel that God is going to bring forth. So there's some light at the end of this tunnel, right? There's a bit of hope, even though they're in this, the Jews are in this foreign land, that they've been exiled and they're taken out of their own land and are serving in this foreign land. They see this hope through God's vision. Through this vision that's given to Ezekiel. And so it starts in Ezekiel 34, verse 23 to 24. It says this, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken." So it was going to be with a new David, a new messianic king, the promised future Jewish king from the line of David, who will fill the role as deliverer, savior, and ruler. And this new promised king is going to be King Jesus. And so we pick up our reading today from, that also did for us today, from verse 1. It says this, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of dry bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry." So Ezekiel has this vision. God takes Ezekiel, he shows Ezekiel this vision of this valley, of this dry bones, and there's heaps of heaps and heaps of bones around, right? What comes to mind when you see this image? What comes to mind for you? Death. Yes. Death. Despair. Helplessness. Hopelessness. The end. The weakness of man. Maybe. Decaying. One commentator said that the people represented by these bones were not only dead, but they were also disgraced. In the cultural context of ancient Israel, the act of leaving a corpse unburied with exposed bones was considered a violation of social and religious norms. It was seen as a sign of disrespect and neglect towards the deceased. So this vision of the valley of dry bones symbolizes the state, the current state, the helplessness, the disgrace, the despair of the people of Israel. And they were seen as being spiritually dead. They were scattered. They were a separated people. The people of Israel had been exiled. They had been taken out of their homeland and taken to a foreign land to serve in Babylon. And so they're living in this land. This foreign land is not there. They're aliens to it. They're not connected to God anymore. It's like they feel the sense of, man, where is God in the midst of all this? They're looking around and seeing everything is unfamiliar to them, right? So this is the new world that they're having to live through. They are not connected to God because their sin has separated them. You know, back in Jerusalem, the way that they saw connection with God was by going to the temple. That was their way of feeling like, oh yeah, I'll go to the temple and I'll meet God there. That was their way. But now that the temple is destroyed, what happens? Where do I go now? That was their point of connection with God. Here's a question for us. Are there some dry bones in our own lives? Are there areas in our life that we may have the sense of helplessness? The sense of separation, maybe? The sense of death? The sense of defeat? Is there a sense of difficulty that you may be walking through as a person right now? See, we all have areas in our life that may be good, they may be flourishing, there may be areas in our life that we may be struggling with, right? Certain things, maybe certain habits, maybe certain people. Because we as human people, we as human beings, we think that a good way to deal with these sorts of things is by putting them into boxes, right? Compartmentalizing stuff. The hard stuff, the things that oh man, I can't deal with this stuff. I'll put it in the too hard box. And then I'll put it to the back of over here, where I won't see it. I'll just push it to the back. Compartmentalizing is very helpful. Isn't a very healthy way for us to deal with stuff in our lives. Because it's still there, right? It may be out of sight for you, but it's still there. And so, we've got to remember that our hearts are this place of, it can be the central point for our life. In Proverbs 4:23, it says this, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." In other translations, it says that it's the source of life. Our heart is the source of life. So that word keep in Greek is natsa. I want to say natsa. So it means to watch or to guard. And so the word emphasizes the need to be very careful, to be careful in how we guard and nurture our hearts. Because if we let anything and everything influence our heart, then it can affect the direction and the quality of our life. What are the dry bones in your life? What are the dry bones that you know are there? That you just push to the back of your mind. Put in a box. Put in an archive box. Push it to the back. Verse 3. And he said to him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." God asked this question of Ezekiel. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? You know, if we were looking at this situation and like we see these dead bones on the ground everywhere around us and someone asks us, "Do you think these bones could live?" I think the reality, I think most of us would answer, they're pretty dead. I don't think so. Right? That would be our natural response to what we're seeing. Right? But Ezekiel's different. He's with God. He's hearing God. Ezekiel knows God. And so he answers in a very humble and correct way. Only you know God. Only you know. And I think this highlights for us an important aspect of our personal relationship with Jesus. You know, I'm going to talk to you and run out of breath right here. Don't do that. Okay? So, this is a reflection. This is to highlight our personal relationship with Jesus. And it's to do with, do we hear Him? Do we know Him? Do we hear Him? Do we know Him? Ezekiel was able to hear God because he knew God. In verse 1, it said that it was God that was showing this vision to Ezekiel, right? When God is wanting to show us things, do we recognize His voice? Do we know that it's God that's speaking to us? Maybe God is wanting to deal with some things in our own life. Right where you are. Maybe He wants to restore something. Maybe it's to heal you. Maybe it's to minister to you. But we need to be able to recognize that it is God. We need to be able to know that it is God speaking to us. And we only get to know that it's God and His voice by spending quality time with Him, right? Spending time hearing from Him, talking to Him. Like how we would spend time with our best friend, right? Who calls a best friend that you only see once a year? You want regular, constant time with your best friend, right? An intimate relationship with Jesus. Jesus knew that where His direction came from. Jesus knew where His strength came from. Jesus knew where His purpose came from. Jesus knew this because He knew His Father, right? We hear regularly from Jesus throughout His ministry, saying these things like in John 5:19, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees. Someone say sees. Only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. So Jesus said, whatever I see my Father doing, I'm doing that. Right? In John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. He understood that He was sent by God, His Father, to do something. He wasn't sent here to come on holiday, to relax, to enjoy the beautiful sun of Queensland. No, He was sent on a mission. He was sent on a purpose. And then John 14:31. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father, what God has commanded Him. Do we hear Him? Do we know Him? Do we obey Him? Do we know when God is leading us to those places of restoration? Those places of where we can be healed and restored in that season. Do we know that? Verse 4. Then He said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And so God is speaking to Ezekiel. He's telling him what to prophesy, what to speak this message from God over these dry bones. You know, when I was reading this, I couldn't help but sort of think about, my mind was taken back to Genesis 1, back to creation. God speaking the word into existence. Remember Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. God said, let there be an expanse. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. And God says this to all all of creation. And then here, in the Valley of Dry Bones, he's saying again. He's saying and commanding Ezekiel to speak to these dry bones. There's power in the word. God is the life giver. Amen? God is the life giver. It is his word that brings life. Jesus is that word of life. In John 1, verses 1 to 2, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. It is God's word that gives us life. You know, I think this is pretty cool. God is so cool that he even breaks it down in terms of telling us how he's going to, how it's all going to come together. God says, I will lay sinews upon you. Now, sinews are like, not a biology thing or whatever, what you study, whatever. But, you know, the sinews are these tissues and fibers that connect muscles to bone. Right? And so God is connecting the bones first. He's bringing them together. He's forming them. Forming them into a human skeleton. This is something very important. Has anyone remember the skeleton dance song? Remember the skeleton dance song? Is it my angel? Yes. Well, it goes like this, okay? Listen, okay? Unless you listen, okay? The foot bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the knee bone, the knee bone connected to the thigh bone. Do we need the skeleton? You guys are looking at like I'm a liberal or something. Okay? That's the skeleton dance. Right? God is the life giver. God's the life giver. And it is he who brings life together. It is he that brings life together. In verse 7, it says, this is where Ezekiel begins to do what God has just told him. And so I, Ezekiel, prophesied as I was commanded. He's speaking these words. And as I prophesied, everyone say, as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. So as Ezekiel is speaking these words that God had commanded him to speak, there comes a sound. Sound like something has happened. Right? Like I said, you know, there was time that you know, you could hear like a rumbling or something when an earthquake was about to happen. And then all of a sudden you could feel the shaking and the rattling. The rattling is the bones coming together. The rattling is bones forming a person, coming together, right? Sinews begin to lay on top of the bones, and then flesh on top of it, and then skin encompasses the body, and then you have this bodily form there. So now, there are these bodies lying all over the floor of this valley. But there's still no life in them. These are formed bodies, but they're not alive. In verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into me, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. It is the spoken word of God that brings the breath of life. Genesis 2:7, it says this. This is when God created man. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust and from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. It's the breath of life that gives us life. And that life becomes a living and exceedingly great army here in the valley. And the thing with an army, what good is an army if they're just lying down on the ground? Right? They need the light to stand up. And that's what this army did. Once they received the living breath of God, they stood up. And when they stood up, it indicated, we're ready. We're ready to go. We're ready to follow the orders. Where are we going to? Are we ready to move? Do we have the living breath of God in us? Are we alive today? Right? Or are we just physical bodies that are, yeah, I'm here, but there's no life in me. There's no purpose in me. I'm just going through life. I'm just doing what I think is right. But God has a purpose for you. God wants to breathe fresh life into each and every one of us. Every single day. Now you name it, answer your life. Yeah. Now the other thing to say, are you alive? Hey, verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Because at this time, Israel had been broken up into these two kingdoms. Okay, so you had the kingdom of Israel up in the north, and then the kingdom of Judah down in the south. And Ezekiel was part of the kingdom in the south. And so, maybe to him he was thinking, oh, God's speaking this to our people, to the kingdom of Judah. This is for us. But when he hears the word, the whole house of Israel, then he's probably thinking, oh, it includes those guys as well? Them as well, God? Do we have that of approach as well? Oh, why are you bringing that person into the kingdom? Because you've seen them, maybe you will make a little mistake here and there, so you're like, oh, they don't belong in the kingdom, God. What a mirror to your face, bro. Alright. What are we talking about? What's really in our heart? Right? He wants to restore all things in all people. That's God's ultimate. And then here are the words that for the whole people of Israel in verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your grave and raise you from the graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from the graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This again is very similar imagery to the verses back in verses 7 to 10. You see, this time it's the grave. It's talking about being pulled out of the grave. The same thought and same emphasis being made here. Being pulled out of the grave, the place of death, the place of separation from God. And it is God who places His Spirit, His breath of life into them so that they will live. This is the restoration of the whole people of Israel, of God's chosen people. But here's the cool thing. God isn't just about restoring a people or a specific nation. He is about restoring all of creation. All of creation. And the way that He's done this is through one person. through one son, through one sacrifice, for once and for all, and that is Jesus. It is through Jesus. So I got this from the Bible Project guys, right? You're familiar with the Bible Project guys? Really, really cool. Really cool stuff, those guys. And so it's through Jesus that not only is humanity restored, but also all of creation. And so everything is going to be restored back to its original form, its original design, its original intention. Because in the beginning, God created the Garden of Eden, and he places man in the middle of the garden. He places him in the middle of the garden to steward it, to look after it, to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over it. With God, alongside God. But when man wanted to do his own thing, so sin enters the world. So through his sin, this separated heaven, which is God's one place, and earth, which is now man's one place. So God's one place has his presence, it has his goodness, his justice, his beauty. That's all. That's all in God's dwelling place. But in man's dwelling place, there's sin, there's injustice, there's ugliness, there's sadness, there's pain, there's hurt. So these two worlds can never coexist. They're always at each other. But it's at this point that we need to read John 1:14, and it says this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So this is John continuing on about the importance of the Word, about Christ's deity. "And here the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The word "dwelt" is literally defined as a tabernacle. And so Jesus becomes this new tabernacle. The new temple, the new place where man can meet with God. Right? This is what Jesus is becoming. He's representing this new temple that we can come to now. So Jesus is the new tabernacle, the new temple. It's no longer a physical location. It's no longer bricks and mortar that we go to. It's Jesus. It's a relationship with Jesus. So it's the power of Jesus' sacrifice. And that's what we were doing the last week during Easter. That allows the power of the sacrifice of Jesus, allows the spreading of more and more heaven on earth places, God-centered places here, like here in Logan, here in Woodbridge, here in Marston, here in Loganly, here in Logan Central. Wherever God places each and every one of us should be a place of hope, should be a place of encouragement, and where heaven meets earth, and an expression of that, so that people can experience that right where they are. So this process of complete restoration, like the whole restoration of the people of Israel, is a whole restoration of creation. And that is still to come when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns. So complete restoration is not just about us being restored. It's not just about us being made right with God. It's an important part. But it's more that it's about humanity. It's about all of creation being restored back to God. It's about heaven and earth becoming one again. Right? Heaven and earth becoming one again. As it was in the beginning. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 2 says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So it's not a garden anymore. It's a city now. Coming down from heaven to settle on earth. So until then, what do we do? What's our part in that? We are in the process of being made whole. We are in the process of being restored. And that's that restoration happens deeper in us as we draw closer to God. More of us are able to change from the inside out. Our heart can draw closer to God. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we see people. In a way that we can love people more often. We can accept people for who they are. We're not judging them. We're just loving them. And because we understand in ourselves well, how God loves us. Right? And we're getting restored. We're getting closer to God. So we have to be faithful with what God has entrusted us. Whether we get the opportunity to pray with someone in a situation, whatever situation that you're going through, you may feel like, oh man, no, I don't want to pray for them because it may not, they may not get healed, right? I know. That's not how I think about that too. You know? Oh God, please, God, please heal this person. I'm praying for them. But what we need to train ourselves that it's not on us. It's not on me to, it's not my words that is going to heal the person. It's the word of God, it's the spirit of God that's going to come in there and do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Right? So just sit down and pray. You don't have to pray a sermon. Just pray. Pray directly to that situation. If they ask for prayer for healing, just pray directly for that prayer. It may be a 30-second prayer, but it's a prayer that's out of your genuine heart and you believe God to do it. That's enough. Step out in that faith. Step into that. If we begin like Ezekiel did, and faithfully and obediently begin to speak His word, we may hear some rattling begin to happen. Don't get distracted by the rattling. Okay? Don't get distracted by stuff that may be happening. Okay? Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on prophesying. Keep on praying through that. Right? Because it may be just God, maybe just doing the thing. He's just doing His thing, right? He may be just bringing people together. He may be doing a work in that person's heart. Just keep praying. Keep believing with them, right? Don't get distracted by that. Don't get, woo, well, that people have me. Believe that God worked. God, you're in this situation. I believe that you are doing this. It's not me. It's you. You're choosing this moment and this way to do it. Amen? So as followers of Jesus, we are empowered by the life-giving Spirit of God. And one of the purposes that we're given this gift of God, is to represent God as His image bearers and to share the love of God with those around us. Amen. And we do that through preaching the gospel, making disciples. Don't be scared off by the word of preaching the gospel. Oh my gosh, I can't preach the gospel. You can. If you've received the message of hope in you, if God has changed you in a way that you believe in Him, that you know the work that He's done in your life, then you can preach the gospel. Just begin by telling your story. Telling what God has done in your life. What has God changed in you? How did He bring you to this place where you're at today? It's simple as that. If you know verses, if you know how to quote scripture, man, awesome. But if you don't, just use your story that honors God, that points to God. Use your story to tell that person. Is that alright? Is that okay? Is that how? Preach the gospel, make disciples. That's what God fishing is about. We need to be in our communities. Sunday's great. Sunday's great to come together like this and be encouraged. But the real work begins when you leave this place, when you drive out that driveway, You have an opportunity to represent Christ. And the first thing you do is, out of my way! My goodness. Watch out for the lightning. But, you know, just think about it, okay? This is a, when we come together on Sunday, it's about equipping you to be able to walk through Monday to Saturday. It's about encouraging you so that you can be faithful with what God has given you. So that you can reach those people around you, your neighbors, your friends, young people. You guys looking forward to school this week? I'm looking forward to it. And every single parent is looking forward to it. Right? It's the beginning of the new term, young people. So maybe, I don't know, maybe for you as a young person, you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, not the start of the year, another term. Maybe you're thinking, oh, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. Don't take a sip on the first day. It's not a good look. But here's the question for us, okay? Are you alive with the living breath of God? Are you alive with the living breath of God? Do you have the Word of God within you? That is encouraging you, that is allowing you to get up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Or do you wake up like, oh my gosh, another day. Right? How do we approach the day? How do we value the life that God has given us? Right? How do we see this? So young people, when you wake up tomorrow morning for school, wake up and say, thank you, Jesus, for today. Right? I'll get your parents to come kick you out of bed then. Come back. But are you alive with the living breath of God? And I want to encourage you, I want to speak to other people. New term is going to be new challenges. Okay? So maybe you have a sense of, oh my gosh, I'm not looking forward to going back to school. Not looking forward to trying to make friends again. I'm not looking forward to trying to be with people again. Can I encourage you? And even if there's any of us in here, well, in any sense, this the sense of spiritual dryness in us, right? You may be sensing that. I know God is here, but somehow I don't sense Him. Somehow I feel distant from God. I want to give us an opportunity to invite God back into our lives. You know, give me a mission project there, like, man, give me another day with the living breath of God in us. God, what do you want me to do with this day? What do you want me to do with my life to do with this day? So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I pray, Father, for those of us that are on this journey towards you, for those of us that may not even be on the journey, but we've heard your word today, there's something that may be moving in us, something that may be speaking to us, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that a decision will be made, whether it's to come before you, Lord God, in prayer. And we ask, Father, that you would refer us, that you would meet each and every one of us, Lord God, as parents, as young people, right where you are, Lord God. You know our individual circumstances. You know where we are with you. You know the struggles and the challenges that we may be going through in our hearts. So I pray, Father, I pray for each and every one of us, that as we come before you today, as we respond and worship today, O God, that you would refill us, that you would restore us, show us those areas that we may be struggling with. Whether it's in our mind, whether it's through relationships or work or finances, Lord God, we want to bring these before you. Take away any anxieties, any fears, any doubt, anything that may be causing us to run away from you, to be separated from you. Father, we ask that you will come and and minister to our hearts. As we pray today, Lord God, the heart is so vital. Out of the flows the issue, it's the source of life. And so, Father, I pray right now for those of us in our hearts this morning that you will come and minister to us. Minister to where we are. Minister in the challenges that we may walk, that we're individually walking through. Seeing us, Lord God, you see us. And you know us. So we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus, my son.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.